This morning's public read from God's Word comes from 1 Samuel chapter 17. I'm going to be picking up in verses 12. 1 Samuel chapter 17 and verse 12, and I need to get there. 1 Samuel chapter 17 and verse 12, and I'm going to be reading through verse 31. 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 12-31. Now David was the son of the Ephraimite of Benjamin, Judah, whose name was Jesse, and he had 8 sons. And the man went among men of an old man in the days of Saul. And the 3 eldest sons of Jesse went and followed Saul to the battle. And the names of his 3 sons that went to the battle was Eliab, the firstborn, and the next unto him, Abinadab, and the 3rd, Shammah. David was the youngest, and the 3 eldest followed Saul. But David went and returned from Saul to feed his father's sheep at Bethlehem. And the Philistines drew near morning and evening, and presented themselves 40 days. And Jesse said unto David his son, Take now for thy brethren an ephah of this parched corn, and these 10 loaves, and run to the camp to thy brethren, and carry these 10 cheeses unto the captains of the thousands, and look how thy brethren fare, and take their pledge. Now Saul and they and all the men of Israel were in the valley of Elah, fighting with the Philistines. And David rose up early in the morning and left the sheep with a keeper, took and went as Jesse had commanded him. And he came to the trench as the host was going forth to fight, and shouted for the battle. And Israel and the Philistines had put the battle in array, army against army. And David left his carriage in the hand of the keeper of the carriage, and ran into the army, and came and saluted his brethren. And as he talked with them, behold, there came up the champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, out of the army of the Philistines, and spake, according to the same words. And David heard them. And all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him and were so afraid. And the men of Israel said, Have you seen this man that has come up? Surely to defy Israel is he come up. And it shall be that the man who killeth him, the king will enrich him and with great riches, and will give his daughter, and will make his father's house free in Israel. And David spake to them that stood by him, saying, What shall be done to the man that killeth this Philistine, and taketh away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine, that he should defy the armies of the living God? And the people answered him after this manner, saying, So shall it be to the man that killeth him. And Eliab, his eldest brother, heard when he spake unto the men, and Eliab's anger was kindled against David, and he said, Why camest thou down hither? And with whom hast thou left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know thy pride and the naughtiness of thy heart, for thou art come down that thou mightest see the battle. And David said, What have I done now? Is there not a cause? And he turned from him towards another, and spake after the same manner. And the people answered him again after the former manner. And when the words were heard which David spake, they rehearsed them before Saul, and he sent for him. Please be seated, and may God choose to bless his word. Beloved, there is so much here to unpack, okay? So let's get the picture. Here in verses 12, the writer of 1 Samuel kind of reintroduces once again Jesse, the father of David, tells us that he had 8 sons, from the eldest to the youngest. And we have the youngest, his name, David. David was the baby of the family, apparently. Verse 14, David was the youngest, and the three eldest followed Saul. So apparently the three older boys were old enough to wear armor, carry a sword, carry a shield, and to be drafted, if you will, into Saul's army. David apparently was not yet at the age to be drawn into a freestanding army, it would seem. Well, David did have a job to do. His father told him, here's some food, here's some drink, and I want you to go see how things are going with your brothers and tell me how things are going with the battle. So David here, as we look at the older brother's comments way back yonder in verse 28, to me, that was kind of brash on the part of the older boy, because I don't think the older boy had all the facts. The older boy wasn't there when his daddy, Jesse, told David, here's some food and drink, bring it to the army, bring it to your brothers and see how things are going. So David wasn't out there freelancing. His father told him to do a certain thing, and that's what David here is doing. Okay? Well, notice also in verses 15 that David had a job tending sheep. Now, on the surface, that might seem to be a ho-hum job, but beloved, there's a lot of work involved in tending sheep. You don't just get up and throw a little bit of food on the ground and then you find yourself a shade tree and then you take an 8-hour nap. There's tending the sheep and also there's also moving the sheep from one location to another to find better pasture and a source of water. But not just any water, not a fast rushing water. The sheep will get spooked. It's to be a very gentle flowing stream, not a rapid of amount of water flowing. And you can hear the thunderous sound of water on the rapids. Sheep don't like that. And then what about the wolf? And what about the thief who would come and snatch one of David's sheep and have a meal out of that stolen booty? So there's a lot involved in taking care of sheep. Well, then we have found out something else about the battle. Have you noticed that before Goliath would come out and thump his chest, apparently the Philistines like to engage the Israelites in a little bit of battle down there in the valley. Okay? Now, the number 40 is very interesting. The number 40 is a number that denotes testing or trial or even judgment. 40 days of rain, 40 nights of rain, okay? Jesus in the wilderness for 40 days. When you study the number 40, it's very interesting. And so let's look at it in a symbolic fashion. Verse 16. The Philistines drew, or the Philistine, which was Goliath, drew near morning and evening and presented himself 40 days. So this 40-day period of Goliath taunting the armies of Israel, spiritually speaking, was a test, a trial upon them. Bring me out a man. Bring me out someone who would challenge me one-on-one. And if I lose, we become your slaves. If you lose, you become our slaves. Interesting that this taunting had a number to it, 40 days. Well, verse 17 and 18 is David's charge by his daddy. Verse 19, we find out that three of Jesse's boys were part of Saul's army. Well, verse 20, David rises up and he goes to fulfill his father's errand. Notice also something in verse 20 that people read over too fast. When David left his father's sheep, he didn't leave them alone, did he? He put them in the safekeeping of another hand. Notice the love and the concern on the part of David for sheep. Okay? The end of verse 20, when David finally gets to the site, he hears all the commotion and all the hubbub of men fighting. Israel and the Philistines, verse 21, put the battle in array, army against army. David left his carriage in the hand of the keeper of the carriage. Look at verse 22. Not only did David make sure his daddy's sheep were secure, the carriage are the means by which David got from point A to point B, whatever this type of wheeled vehicle, whether drawn by an animal, he made sure that it was in the hands of a keeper where it wouldn't wander off or get stolen. And then verse 23, Goliath comes out and the battle stops and the Israelites go back up in the mountain shaking in their boots. And David hears this taunting. In verse 24, the men fled. Verse 25 and following, the people verbalize out loud, "Have you seen this dude? Look how big he is. Look how tall he is. We can't fight him. Oh, by the way, if anybody does bring him down, the king promises to do A, B, C, D, etc." Now look at verse 25. Look at the last phrase. Whoever was able to bring Goliath down, the king would make his father's house free in Israel. You know what that means? The king would not assess any taxation, like a property tax, on Jesse's property. He would be a free man in that sense. That's what that refers to. Then David asked the question once again, what's to be done if someone brings this dude down? And the people reiterate again. But notice what David says at the end of verse 26. For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? Wow. And then everybody who is familiar with the story will always bring you back to verse 29. This is his answer to his older brother who scolds him poorly and for no good reason. David said, "What have I done now? What have I now done? Father has told me to come here with these provisions. What have I done? Oh, brother, by the way, is there not a cause?" And beloved, that is a message that needs to be thundered from American pulpits right now. We have become so lax, so comfortable, so at ease with the world, that the world is so much enamored by the churches of America because we're in the same bed with them. We have forfeited everything to be friendly with the world, changing pronouns, changing our genders, redefining marriage, retranslating the Bible where it reads more like a novel than versus the word of the living God. We have compromised and given up so much of the farm, we don't even own the chickens, the pigs, and the cows no more. We don't even own the dirt under our feet. And there are preachers today who stand up behind a pulpit and say to their congregation, in light of all that, is there not a cause? Is there not a cause to go back on the offensive with the good news? And the rank and file in all of our churches are telling these preachers to sit down and shut up. Beloved, there seems to be more censorship going on in God's churches than in the marketplace today. We know people right now in our city, you mention anything spiritual, you mention anything that remotely touches something controversial, and they clam up like a shell. And under my breath, I mumble, is there not a cause? Well, then eventually in verses 30 to 31, and we'll pick up next week with verse 32, eventually news reaches Saul of this young boy, David. And then we'll pick up the story next week by God's grace. Amen.